already we've heard of the welcome that Paul gives to all Gentiles, where once you were far from God, now you are a part of God's family. We will pick up aspects of that in this passage as we are challenged in the midst of the crowd and the push to find the quiet. Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw the great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When they, Jesus and the disciples, had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, and they rushed about the whole region, began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that he might touch, that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. Find the quiet. When we follow Jesus' manner of finding the quiet, we as human beings deepen ourselves. We as human beings come in full knowledge of what our character is about, where we are going in life, and why we are here on this planet at all. Find the quiet. In this passage, let me set the stage by talking about the aspect, did you see in verse 30, that this is the first place where the disciples are called apostles, sent ones. Because in the earlier verses, they were sent out two by two to preach and teach and go from city to city. And where they were welcomed, they were to stay. And where they were not welcomed, they were to shake the dust off their feet and move on. This is their return. And they're telling Jesus about all that they did, all the challenges they face, all that they attempted to do. And he's saying, "You have worked hard. Let's go find a place, a deserted place, so that you can be all by yourselves and rest for a while." Finding the quiet. Come away to a deserted place. But notice how this passage goes from here. They are on their way to find this deserted place, and when they get there, because people have seen them going, there's a crowd that's gathered. And so when they leave that first place where the crowd is gathered, after having been with the mix of the crowd and all that goes on there, where Jesus had compassion on them and taught them, when they leave that place, where they go again to the other side of the lake, it too has a crowd there that gathers round them. At this place in the Gospel of Mark, it is Jesus' popularity that is surging and building, and the word is out that he can help. He has a word that people need to hear, and so folks are telling others, "Come, you've got to hear this. Come, you've got to see this." The crowd gathers once and then again. My first time preaching here in Oregon was in this church. I was a candidate and a finalist as a pastoral candidate for the First Presbyterian Church in Newburgh, but you were the neutral pulpit site. On the drive getting here from Central California, packed up with kids and luggage and stuff, a strange thing began to happen, because it was as if we were turning the clock backwards, because around Sacramento, as we traveled north, there were far too numerous Volkswagen bugs, Volkswagen vans that were heading north. And then as we crossed the border into Oregon, where once it was just a few cars here and there of Volkswagen bugs and vans, Suddenly, it was every other car was a Volkswagen Bug or van on their way to a Grateful Dead concert in Eugene, Oregon. That was the crowd that we mixed with. And as you know, when you travel with children, there's a rest stop up ahead. Does anyone need to stop? I do. And so you pull over and stop. Well, there in the rest stop were all these Volkswagen Beetles and vans and tie-dyed t-shirts and stories and, hey, dude, a very laid-back group gathered on their way to Eugene, Oregon, and a Grateful Dead concert. After having preached here in this pulpit, packing up the family and heading home, the concert in Eugene had finished, and guess what crowd we traveled south with on their way to Las Vegas and another Grateful Dead concert there in Las Vegas? Yes, it was the same crowd. And rest stops along the way. Who needs a stop? Oh, I do. So we pull off. We got to know some of these fellas and gals by name as we, on the way up the hill, we would pass them because they can't travel very quickly in these underpowered cars. But then on the way down, they had all the speed in the world and would go very quickly. But they would cool their engines down in the valleys at the rest stops. And we would see them as we went over the hills and to the valleys as we went. That great crowd was gathered round and was an interesting mixture of my introduction to the state of Oregon and my, what a strange trip it's been. And for those of you who do not know who the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, please ask Walt after the worship service and he can fill you in. I'm going to give you a job to do you don't want, really. Perhaps. Jesus encounters the crowd. And notice how Jesus deals with the crowd. As he is seeking a quiet place, a restful place for he and his disciples, they get anything but rest and peace. As they encounter a crowd, as they must be traveling on the Sea of Galilee from the northeast side down to a southwest side, and then going across from the west side to the east side. In any case, a crowd gathering at every time they come on shore, and the crowd having needs and questions and interactions that doesn't leave them a chance to rest or peace to be found. But Jesus' reaction to the crowd first time and the crowd the second time is he has compassion on them. Rather than pushing them aside and say, I have no time for you. I don't want to deal with you. You're not on my schedule. He has compassion for them and makes room for them and giving of his time and energy to them. He taught them. He touched and healed them. That is Jesus' reaction and God's very patient attitude shown through Jesus to any of us who are beckoning, calling, wanting something of God's attention. Jesus shows this is the nature of God, very patient and very giving. But here becomes the lesson where Jesus and his disciples are trying to find the quiet, a restful and peaceful place. They don't find that, and yet the message coming through this is the aspect of the phrase, shallow water is easily disturbed, but deep water is hardly stirred. What are the lessons here? As Jesus and the disciples are trying to find a restful place, to find the quiet, they come in contact with the urgent versus the important. And you know in your life what the urgent looks and sounds like. It is those kinds of things that present themselves and say, you must deal with me now. They may not be important things, but they are urgent things. Urgent versus important. This weekend, Sally, Lucian, you hosted a baby shower at your house. You hosted a baby shower, and Lucian, you showed up. The truth is out. you're being honest. Let's go back to the worship subject. Urgent versus important. Why weren't the two of you off at some other event? Stamp collectors? Other event? It's because what was more important reigned versus what was urgent. And there is a choice and a seeing the difference between. The difference between a want and a need. A want, we want it greatly. Sometimes we can't sleep because we want something so badly. But yet, if we don't get it, life goes on. We continue breathing. Our heart continues beating. We can go on where our wants are not met. But when it comes to our needs, those are far different. We need air with every breath we take. We need the next beat of our heart. We need the love of others around us, and what a difference that makes. Without those things, we will shrivel and truly die. Want versus need. Life has many interruptions. And when life interrupts, suddenly what comes through is our answer to where we are going in life. That as Jesus is seeking a place of the quiet, place of rest and peace for he and his disciples, they don't find that. As life interrupts his own ministry and his own desire for what they wanted to do in those days, what does come through ringingly true again and again is where Jesus is going. Imagine if Jesus would have given in to the urgent temptation in the desert for food, for power, for fame, because that's how he was tempted in the desert after 40 days of fasting. If he'd given in to that urgent temptation, would he have still given his life that the world might be saved? His direction in life would have changed. If Jesus would have given in to the desires of the 500 that he fed with a few fish and bread, would he have become the bread of life for us all? For that crowd, they wanted Jesus to feed them, that they wouldn't have to work for food again. This is a great meal plan. Let's do this more often. How about every day? Jesus leaves that crowd in order to keep on going in the direction of why he's here in the first place. If Jesus would have called down angels to help him down from the cross, would we know about Jesus being the resurrection and the life? He wouldn't have completed the reason why he came. Life and its interruptions get us in touch with where we're going, why we are here. What is it about God's plan that put us in this place? For Jesus, he came to die, to live and to die and be raised from the dead so that we would have life like no other life we've ever known. The urgent will demand our attention, but we must focus on what is most important. And while Jesus on this particular day sought to find the quiet, he found the crowd and its desires and pull and tug on his time and energy, and he made room for it. But he didn't lose sight of that, as later he will find that rest and the quiet for his disciples and himself. Life has many interruptions. And there are times when we take our focus off of where we're going overall in our life and take care of those needs. Like, for instance, the refocus that happened on Easter Sunday the days following Easter Sunday when Lois went in for open heart surgery. The focus of our church family, of her family, was on her health, on the outcome of that surgery. And now the healing coming from it. And as the healing continues and strength is once again a part of her daily life, our focus moves back to the major events, But there was a need, and we turned aside in order to take care of that need for the time. Our prayer focus on our friend Penny as she is facing cancer. Our focus is there because this is important. And in focusing on Penny and her health, and however this journey will go, we want her to be able to find the quiet in the midst of the chaos of going from one treatment to another, one doctor after another. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd," and those precious words in it, "He leads me beside still waters." We need still waters in this very busy life, in this world full of interruptions and where urgency wants to displace and push aside the things that are really far more important, like health and family, baby showers, cancer treatments. The urgent things want to push those aside. We need to stay true to our course. And because we've spent time beside still waters, the depth of our character is not shaken by the immediate and urgent that comes our way. As that poem, Desiderata, says, "Go placidly amid the noise and confusion." How can you go placidly unless you yourself are at peace? Find the quiet. There was a family I knew in Nevada. They were on a very tight budget, and all they could afford for their family of eight, six kids, mom and dad, was a duplex with two bedrooms. One of the children, who loved to read, would find her quiet place, not in a room because she didn't have her own room, not in a common place where the family gathered, but there in a tiny spot behind the wood stove. In this duplex, in the upper story, was where the common area was, eating, dining, moving about. And there in one corner was a wood stove. Not a very big space behind it, but she would sit in behind it with her back against the wood stove, of course, when it wasn't on fire in there, because you know wood stoves are very, very hot. But there was her quiet place as she faced the corner, and she would pull out her book, and that's where she read. In the busyness of that family of eight in a far too small house, she found the quiet place for her. Your quiet place you must find, because shallow water is easily disturbed, but deep water is hardly stirred. Let's sing now a beautiful hymn that it was Debbie who introduced it to me, and I think will introduce it to us as well for a first time. Come and find the quiet center.